Well, that was fun. I was like, oh, I got to grab my stuff. Thanks, Pastor Bill. And thank you for those kind words. I love serving with you. I love being on staff. It's the greatest joy of my week is coming and working in the church office and going to our leadership meetings. And even we went on a fishing trip recently. And it was beautiful out there. Probably the most relaxing day I've ever had with me, Pastor Bill, Pastor Carl, Michael Krames. We're all on the lead team. And we were able to go midweek, caught zero fish. You caught one? Yeah, but you had to throw it back. Okay, so no fish got into the boat, into our cooler. It didn't matter at all. It was so much fun. It was so relaxing. It was just, to me, it was like a Sabbath day. And it was just a great time to just spend some time with all y'all. So I love all of you, Pastor Bill, Pastor Carl, Michael. In fact, Michael, it's so funny, this message that God laid on my heart, like, I was like, I'm going to share this one because Michael just spoke about peace at the very beginning of the month, just kick off the Christmas season, and God's like, well, I'm not done talking about peace. It's a big subject. It's a lot to talk about. It's a lot. So today's message is God's peace within. God's peace within. If you need sermon notes, go ahead and raise your hand. They're in your worship guides, so open up your worship guides, pull them out right now. But if you need them, raise your hand. The ushers will come by and bring them to you. I love the Christmas season. I love the focus on peace that's in this Christmas season. How many know there's peace is in short supply in the world today? Yeah. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Just check the news. Yeah. Bickering in Washington, that seems to be nonstop. There's still racial divide. There's still ethnic groups that are struggling. There's still, around the world, wars still going on. Still a lot of things that are hectic, and life, just day-to-day life. How many know stuff can happen that you can have just a great day, a great morning, great time with God, singing Christmas carols and singing Christmas hymns, and you're just like, thank you, Jesus, I'm so excited for Christmas, and something can happen to just pull you right out of that joy and right out of that peace, and all of a sudden, you're like, what? So it happened recently to me. I was driving home from work. And I was right on 13th Street near University Avenue. I was at a stoplight, and this truck was in front of me and had pulled too far into the median, like past the place where you're supposed to, you know, stop, right? And he was trying to back up. And I'm like, wait a second, you're getting really close. Whoa, you're getting really close. And I do the friendly beep, you know, not a, no, I wasn't like that. I was like, you know, the Christian beep, you know, the Christian horn. Beep. He stops the vehicle, gets out of his truck. He doesn't say, God bless you, thank you for letting me know I'm almost about to. He said, why did you honk your horn at me? And I roll down the window. I stick my hand out, I go, you're backing up. You're getting close. He goes, you didn't think I saw you? And he said a French word, I think. I think it was French. I don't speak French. I don't know. And let me tell you, my heart rate just went through the roof. I was like, what is about to happen here? Because the temptation is when conflict happens, you want to feel justified. The flesh wants to feel justified. Like, what are you talking? You know, I could have told him my side. I could have told him. Instead, I did. I gave him a thumbs up. And he got back in his vehicle. And he drove off, but I was still dealing with it. And I was like, yeah, what would have happened if I had, your mind will go to crazy places when you're mad, when you're upset. I'm not even going to say it. I'll confess it to Pastor Bill. I won't confess it to you this morning. But it was so frustrating. I was just like, and then the Holy Spirit just told me, you know, forgive him. You're right, God. I need to forgive him because it's robbing me of my peace. Like, I'm the one that's suffering right now. He's, you know, I'm sure he's got his own issues. And then God began to just lay it on my heart. Start praying for him. Start blessing him. It's like, there's probably a lot he's going through. Maybe he's really frustrated. Maybe that was just the last straw that broke the camel's back. And he's like, the next person that says anything to me, I'm just going to let him have it. And have you ever been there where you've been frustrated like that? I think if we just let the Holy Spirit challenge us. Walking in peace is a lot of times trying to empathize with other people, trying to understand where they're coming from. And it helped me. It helped me. I just began to pray. I said, God, I forgive him. I release some of that debt. That he doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me an apology. I forgive him. Bless his day. Bless him, Lord. Lead him. I pray he comes to know you if he doesn't know you. I pray he finds freedom in you. I pray he discovers his purpose in you. I pray he makes a difference serving you the rest of his days. Bless him, God. And all of a sudden, I just felt joy and peace again. It's like, wow, that's pretty powerful. That all hell can break loose on the outside, and that's a minor thing. Let's be honest. I mean, some people, they're going through stuff. They lose their jobs. You know, they're going through a divorce. It could be any number of things. Kids not talking to them. Major conflict in their life. All hell can be breaking loose. And yet, God's peace within you can steady you, calm you, help you weather the storm of life. I love that. I love that. Do you ever hope for conflict to just end on the earth? Do you ever think about that? Just get tired of hearing about it in the news? And you're just like, God, when are we just going to have peace on earth? You know, when are we going to have it? You know, the children of Israel for centuries was looking for the Messiah, the one who would come and bring peace on the earth, the one who would come and just, like, settle all the wars and everything, like would bring healing to the land, would, I mean, salvation to everyone. Like, he's going to establish his government. We're going to have peace. We're going to have peace. 700 years before Jesus was even born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. You know there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them? Oh, let me say it again. Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. 700 years, hundreds of years before Jesus was on the scene, Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. You know the odds of one person fulfilling that many prophecies? Mathematically, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I love that. So let's look at that verse, that prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. It's in your notes. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Praise God. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I like that last part. God's zeal, God's passion. He loves us so much. He says, nothing's going to stop me from sending my son to the earth to redeem mankind, to establish peace on the earth, to establish my kingdom. We pray it every day. Hopefully every day you pray this prayer. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my life. Let your kingdom come. And for hundreds of years, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah to come on the scene to set them free from their oppressors, to establish this kingdom. They didn't see it the way that God actually saw it. They saw it in the natural. Well, there's going to be a mighty ruler that's come, and he's going to lay down the law and his justice, and he's going to make it happen. So let's fast forward after Jesus has already been born, after he's done ministry. This is just days before he's to be crucified. He makes this triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And all the people, they've heard about him, and they believe he's the Messiah. They think he's going to come in there and he's going to establish his kingdom then. Like, this is it. And he comes in there, and he doesn't do what they expect. He doesn't declare, we're free from Roman rule. He doesn't declare that. He begins more ministry. Ministers to more people. He meets with his disciples because he's trying to get them prepared because they don't realize he's going to give up his life. He's going to be crucified. And he's going to die on a cross. He's trying to prepare them. And that's the scene of these next couple of verses. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, peace I leave with you. He's trying to comfort them. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I think sometimes in life we can get very discouraged with things in this world. And seeing, it seems like nonstop wars, nonstop racial divide, nonstop politics and bickering, and just nonstop issues in our family, nonstop issues in our marriage. And it's like, my peace I leave with you. Jesus says, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. My peace I give you. My peace I give you. And he goes on to say, he's trying to tell them, listen, this all has to happen. And he says it later on in a couple chapters, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Amen. Or oh my, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's very encouraging. So this life, Jesus didn't even come to bring peace on earth. That's actually not, that phrase, peace on earth, isn't actually in the Bible in that context where he's going to bring it. No, it's peace within. It's peace within. And then there'll be a time when he establishes his kingdom on the earth when he comes back. But now, in the midst of our trials and troubles, he goes, don't worry, I've overcome the world. And I'm going to give you peace to weather every storm. Amen. Come on. That's good. That's something to praise God about, to latch on to. There's a huge difference between the world, what the world says is peace. They think it's a lack of conflict. But that's not God's peace. The world just wants utopia. Not yet. It's not coming yet. That's going to be when Jesus comes and establishes his rule and reign. But not yet. So what do we do? There's a proverb that says, like, we have to contend for peace. Like, we have to seek peace. It's something we have to, in our faith, activate our faith and push towards, be victorious and persevering to access and tap into peace. I had to do that when that guy nearly hit our van, backing up. And he confronts me and challenges me. And I'm like, dude, are we about to fight? Like, what is happening? I had to tap in by faith to that peace. God's peace. Again, all hell can break loose around you, but God's peace can help you weather that storm, give you calm and stillness on the inside. Is all hell breaking out on you? Do you have problems this season? Unexpected trials, situations happening that are stressing you out? I'm telling you, God's peace is so supernatural, it can help you weather just anything. And a lot of times, especially this time of year, it's conflict in relationships that brings the most discord and the most issues and lack of peace. And it's not just that, but a lot of times it's that in families. It just seems like everything seems to get high and you feel the pressure of getting people presents and meeting with family members you haven't seen in a while and stuff. And having those, and it's like, you don't even want to talk to that person. Why are we seeing them this Christmas? You know. And God's saying, no, I want to bring that peace into you. I remember there was a time, here's a story about the power of God's peace. When Elaine and I were first engaged to be married, this was January of 2012, we had that first dinner with her side of the family, with her dad and her mom and her sister. And her dad was a very accomplished Filipino man military background, Navy guy, civil servant his whole life. He was a patriarch of his family. He made a promise to his grandmother that he would bring all of his Filipino siblings to the United States, all 13 of them. And he fulfilled that promise. He worked hard. He paid for them to get here. But he was the patriarch, so what he said went. And he was used to having his power and his influence and his money make stuff happen. And he was a devout Catholic. And Lelaine was raised Catholic. So in his heart, and it's not a bad dream to believe that your child is going to be raised up in your particular faith and denomination and is going to follow your traditions and everything. But God laid it on Lelaine's heart to join with me and not Catholic. And Lelaine wasn't even Catholic, practicing Catholic at the time. We've been coming to Victory since like 2007. And her dad wasn't fully on board with that. So in this, we knew going into this dinner that he was going to get very angry with us. And we knew we had to choose our words wisely. And people were praying for us. I think Brenda Crams, I know she was praying so fervently, so diligently for us. And I know her prayers made a huge difference. She even prayed that Elaine's sister would rise up and be our advocate, that we wouldn't really have to defend ourselves in all this. So what we did, the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it's not in your notes, but you can write it down, Philippians 4, 6, 7. It's not even going to be on the screen, but I've memorized this verse because it's so powerful. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer, supplication, that's a request, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And we did that, and we were at that dinner, and man, he was letting us, everything we feared would happen was happening in that dinner. And we felt incredible peace, like, it was like, wah, 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 and we're just like, smiling on the inside. I hope I wasn't giving him a smiling face because he was upset. So, but just calm, quiet. And just like what Brenna prayed for, her sister stood by and was like advocating for us. It's like, Daddy, this is wrong, you know. And in those moments of conflict, you're tempted to justify yourself. You're tempted to try to defend yourself. But the wisdom of God is peaceable, peacemaking. I mean, the Bible says that wisdom leads to peace, brings peace. And what happens? God didn't lay it on our hearts to try to defend our position. Instead, God, I'm so amazed that God did this. He said, ask them to pray for you. Mr. Papel, Mrs. Papel, would you pray for us and ask God to help us to make the right decision, what he wants us to do? Now, they're devout Catholics, so they believe in prayer, and we just challenge them to exercise their faith in God in a very honoring and respectful way. And basically, the conversation kind of died down after that. Like, it subsided. But he didn't talk to Elaine for 4 months after that. And we just went along. I mean, he actually told Elaine that he wouldn't walk her down the aisle. He wouldn't pay for the wedding. He wouldn't even walk her down the aisle. So we were planning a very bare-bones wedding. 4 months later, we didn't know that God was sending people to her father to work on his heart. And there was this incredible humbling that happened in his heart. He sent her an email, apologized for everything. He said he would be proud to walk her down the aisle. And he'd help us pay for the wedding. Glory to God. Praise God. God, when you rely on God's peace, God brings it all. He works things together for good. And in fact, God used that, I believe it was a humbling of his heart, which he hadn't really had to do many times in his life, but there was a breaking. I feel like a spiritual stronghold broke in him. And we didn't realize it, but just within a year in our marriage, he passed away unexpectedly. But when he was in the hospital, I was able to pray with him and found out that we found gospel tracts in his house that he was reading, that he was watching Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen always gives a gospel presentation at the end to invite people to receive Jesus. And come to find out that there was a family friend that prayed with him just weeks or months before he passed away. And it was just like, and we noticed a change in him. And then God said, all right, I'm ready to take him home. And now he's in heaven cheering us on. Yeah. So there's power in God's peace. When you walk in it, you can be wise, make wise decisions. So there are three areas, and this is in your notes, three areas of life that I believe God wants you to have peace within. All right? And write this down. Number one, peace with God. Oh, I love this. Peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That Greek word for peace is, I'm going to butcher it, irene. Irene. It literally means to join or to bind together that which has been separated. So the peace that God brings is this reconciliation. It's like we've been separated, but now I want to bring us close. Sin separates us from God. But Jesus says, I come to pay for your sins so that the sins can be completely washed away and that wall that separates us can be demolished and we can be joined and bonded together, bound together. Peace of God literally means to bind. And I love that about Jesus and what he did. How many people in your life do you know who would stand in line and say, hey, all the debt you have in your life, everything that you owe, including the sin that you've committed, I'm going to die for you and pay for it. I'm going to take all the punishment for you. There's only one person who's ever stood up and done that, and that was Jesus Christ. Oh, and we are forever indebted to him and grateful for that. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. They say it to each other as a greeting and as a blessing. Shalom, peace, peace. It means inner completeness and tranquility. Like a completeness that comes with salvation, a completeness that comes with our relationship with him. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for my relationship with God. Before Christ, I was a mess. Now, I was raised, I was considered a good Christian boy. I was raised in a church. But I would say this, if I'm being honest, I was the biggest religious hypocrite in the world. I was like a modern-day Pharisee. I was very put together on the outside, but inwardly, I had an addiction to pornography. Inwardly, I was judgmental and critical towards everyone. I would get into arguments with people about any doctrine. If I didn't believe, I was like, well, I need to just hit you with the truth until you get it. I was very judgmental and critical, and in all honesty, I was not happy at all. But I was very well put together on the outside. And God's so good. In my college years, I was dating my high school sweetheart, but I made that relationship my idol. We fell into sexual immorality. I wasn't opening up to anyone about it. Keeping it to myself. I wasn't in a small group. I wasn't in a freedom group. I wasn't in relationships to where I could confess my sins to one another and receive prayer so I can be healed and we can live in purity. I wasn't doing that. It was all me. And I thought, okay, it's in my control. I'm going to control. I was controlling in the relationship. And after 3.5 years of that, this young lady was tired of it. She was studying abroad in Austria, studying music. She broke up with me halfway around the world. I fell into the worst depression of my life. I wanted to kill myself. Why? Because I had made that my idol. I claimed to be a Christian, but I wasn't. I wasn't really following Jesus. I was following after what I wanted. And I prayed for 2 weeks straight after that, because that was the most humbling, for me, that was my rock bottom moment in my life, was that. And I prayed for 2 weeks straight that I knew I was transferring to the University of Florida. I knew I needed to find a good church. I knew I needed to find good friends. I knew I wasn't where God wanted me to be. I was a wreck. I prayed for 2 weeks straight for God to send me to a church where I could learn the word and grow in my faith, and that I could get connected with some fellowship, because I didn't have that growing up in my church. And 2007, I was invited to Victory Church by our tuba captain on the marching band, Chad Mizell. Anyone still remember Chad? Yeah, I love Chad. He and I would get into arguments a lot. Anyway, like a lot. I loved him, and then love-hate relationship. But he invited us to church, and that very first service, God wrecked me. I don't even remember what Pastor Bill preached, but I just felt God. And I just, when that altar call came, and he asked if anyone wants to recommit their lives to Christ, my hand shot up. I was like, I need this. And by the grace of God, my life just began to change. All of a sudden, like, I was like, wait a second, there are awesome friends here that I can get connected with. Like, I like these people. These aren't weird Christians. Like, I like them. Like, they're normal, but they love God. I love that. And I just began to get connected, and God just began to do a healing in my heart. And by the grace of God, I was able to reconcile with that sweetheart of mine, and God healed our friendship and then healed our relationship. And September 29th, 2012, we were married. Praise God. I love that. Yeah. And then June 5th, 2016, we had our first son, Gabriel. And then March 19th, 2018, we had our second son, David. Now, let me tell you, I declared over our house. Our house is a house of peace. We don't have controlling relationships. We are full of love and joy. We have even our own values are up on our wall, like what we believe in as a family. Like, and that's the transformation God can have in your life. He can bring peace to your life. You want peace with God. It fixes everything in your life. I need peace with God. I also need, write this down, number two, peace with myself. Peace with myself. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can you say that with me? As yourself. Yes. As yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Like, all the commandments hang on these two. And Christians usually find that the first commandment is really easy to follow because you're so overwhelmed by God's love and by what he's done. It's like, wow, God, you died for me. You forgave me. You washed my sins away. That's so awesome. And the first commandment was like, it's a joy. The second commandment, though, people. Loving people as yourself. And I have found more often than not that the limiting factor for us loving people is the degree at which we truly, in a healthy way, love ourselves. People who struggle with self-doubts, insecurities, hatred of who they are and their image and everything about them, they struggle with loving others. They struggle. It's a constant struggle. Our capacity to love is so linked to our capacity to love ourselves. Do you love yourself? You say, oh, I kind of like myself. No, do you love the way that God created you? Do you love that? Because God does. He didn't make any mistakes when he made you. None. Zero. Okay, but God, what about my ankles? What about my hips? What about my hair color? What about my height? I always thought for the longest time, like, God, why didn't you make me taller? I'm 5'6". I can't reach anything. I want to play basketball. I can't. I want to play football. Can, but not really very good. And I always felt like, so I did wrestling. Wow, it seemed like wrestling was like, okay, you can't do other sports, do wrestling. And I was good at wrestling. Yeah. Do you love the way that God made you? Because he loves the way he made you. He loves it. Some people, they're so, and a lot of times people don't love themselves because they're ashamed of their past too. They're reminded of the things that they've done in their past, and they're just like, I'm unlovable, what I've done. How could any, like, you may receive God's forgiveness, but you haven't extended forgiveness to yourself. To have peace with yourself, you need to forgive yourself. Because the Bible says that our sins are as far away as the east is from the west. Yeah. You know what that is? That's infinite. Mm-hmm. Infinitely apart from where we are with God. Like, the Bible says that he casts all of our sins into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. He doesn't remember it against us anymore. He doesn't remember it against us. But here's what the devil does. He always does this. He tries to remind you of your past, and he tries to condemn you and guilt and shame you. But here's what I do with the devil when that happens, and I encourage you to do this too. He may remind you of your past. Just remind him of his future. He's going to the lake of fire. Him and all of his demons are going straight to the lake. They're going to burn for all eternity. And then I remind him of my future. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a child of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. My inheritance is eternity with God in heaven. That's who I am. That's where I'm going. And I'm telling you, every time, puts the devil in his place. Have peace within. Put the devil in his place. Be conscious of where your thoughts go. Don't hate yourself. Love yourself. Can I get a good amen? Come on. Come on. Amen. Now, I need peace with God. I need peace with myself. Lastly, I need peace with others. Yes. Oh, it's all about relationships. Relationships, the single source of our greatest joy, also the single source of our greatest pain. The people, it's so easy to love someone from a distance. But when they start getting close, and you start, especially if you have a different personality type, like opposite personality types, no one's sinning, but you're just kind of rubbing each other the wrong way. You're just getting kind of annoyed because of their preference of the way they view stuff. You know why we do discovery class at our church? It's to help you discover your purpose, how you were uniquely made, but there's another purpose behind it. Because we know we want to help you get connected to a team to serve and make a difference. And we know that if you don't appreciate your personality type and you don't appreciate the personality types of others, that when you get on a team, when that friction happens, you're going to view it the wrong way. You're going to get offended. You're going to get upset. You may talk about them, which, by the way, we don't gossip at our church. Uh-uh. We don't do that. We love each other. We accept each other. And we appreciate the differences. It's not wrong, just different. And we appreciate that, the way God made us. You need to have peace with others. Romans 12:18 says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. So what does that tell us? Sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes the person is unreasonable. Sometimes they're just a jerk. And you love them. And you say, I forgive you. But you know you can't. Sometimes it's an abusive relationship. Get out of that. Get out of that. Live at peace with everyone. What that tells me, that is a choice. I can live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on me. So, and beyond, and you know when you pray about it, is it up to you? Is there stuff that you can do that you can change? Yes. And the stuff that's outside your control, you give it up to God and you release that person. You know, I was exposed to abuse in my home growing up. I don't talk about it a lot because it seems like a distant memory, like a bad dream that I had years ago. That's how much healing I've experienced in my relationship with God, how much peace I have in this area. That's why you got to go to a freedom group. Why you got to get plugged in and let some ministry happen in your life. Because I'm supposed to be a statistic. I'm supposed to be strung out on drugs, try to commit suicide, all these things that statistically those who grew up in abusive homes, was in the foster care system for a period of time, that I'm supposed to be X, Y, and Z. But no, God had a different plan. The plans that God has for us are good plans. Bless us, prosper us, not to harm us. Come on, give us hope and a future and a purpose and a calling. Yes, amen. And if God did it for me, God can do it for you. But I struggled with bitterness towards my dad because that's where the abuse happened. And my dad went through all the counseling and court-ordered counseling. He repented. He verbally repented. He apologized. And then what happens, in order to reconcile, you have to make it right. You have to show a pattern that you have truly repented, that you have truly changed, if there's ever going to be trust built up again. And he did do that. And he humbled himself. He fasted. He prayed. He let God work on it. He needed to get healing himself because there was the same kind of abuse that his dad brought. So this was a generational curse. The Bible actually talks about that, generationally passing on. And I declared in my life, it ends with me. This is not going to pass on to my children. And by the grace of God, it hasn't. But I had to still deal with having peace with my dad. I had to deal with it. And I remember, it would get to the point, I couldn't even stand talking to him at times, where we would get into such angry face-to-face arguments, eyes bloodshot, yelling at each other, where one day, I remember, I was about to punch him as hard as I could. And I thank God I didn't, because I think that would have taken me over the edge. I think I would have been consumed with hatred at that point. But I remember God just giving me grace to not do it, and then I just felt terrible that I even wanted to do that to my own dad. I thought about the verse, children, honor your mother and father. God's going to bless you with a long life if you honor your mother and father. I knew it was a commandment. I knew I was disobeying God by not honoring my dad. And I didn't know how to because I was so full of bitterness and anger. And then the Bible says, forgive. And then there's this verse that came to mind. I had thrown myself on my bed in my room, and I was just like crying, and I was just like bitter and angry. But I was praying. It's okay to be bitter and angry. Just don't stop praying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. This was the verse that the Holy Spirit reminded me of. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And the reality of that verse set in. That means, listen, we don't make it to heaven if our sins aren't forgiven. Am I going to really wreck my eternal destination over this bitterness towards my dad? And I just began to weep, and I prayed, and I said, God, I forgive him. I didn't feel anything. God, I forgive him. Still didn't feel anything. I just kept saying it over and over again, God, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. And at one point, it broke. And I began to weep and cry, like a deep weeping and deep crying that was bringing a lot of healing to my heart. And God was healing me, setting me free. And I began to pray for him. I began to bless him in my prayers. I began to, ask God, show me all the things that I could see in my dad to honor him, to give him that honor that you want me to give him, God. And God began to show me he's an amazing cook. He's an amazing, hardworking dad. He works tirelessly to provide. And there are all these things that God began to show me. And from that day forward, I've had peace with my dad. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Forgiving the person doesn't mean that what they did was right. No, it was wrong. Forgiveness is releasing the person of the debt that you feel like they owe you. Do they owe you? Yeah, they owe you. God forgave us. We owed him a debt with our sin. But God forgave us. So we extend that forgiveness to others. And I'm telling you, when you forgive people, it frees your soul. It sets you free. I've heard it said that bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. And it's like, no, forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness paves the way for your heart to heal. I mean, it is how if you want true healing, it begins with forgiveness. It begins with forgiveness. And I'll say this, it takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to reconcile. Can I just free you up right now? even if you can't reconcile with a person because maybe they've never repented, maybe they passed away and there was no opportunity to reconcile with them, you can still forgive them. You can still forgive. And some of you need to ask God to help you to forgive that person who hurt you. Maybe some of you were responsible for causing the hurt. Maybe you're the ones that, you know, you need to forgive yourself for what you did in the past. Maybe you need to go this Christmas to the person that you hurt, and you need to apologize and ask for forgiveness. Maybe, I'm telling you, do it. Fight for peace. Contend for it. Come on. We're Victory Church. Be victorious in this area of your life. Try to make it right, and trust God to work it out. Trust God to work it out. God wants you to have his peace. He wants you to have it. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. My peace. In me, you're going to have peace, is what Jesus said. Peace with him. Peace with yourself. Peace with others. It's God's desire for you, for every one of us, to have his peace this Christmas season and into the new year. Come on, somebody. If you would bow your heads and let's begin to pray. Let's begin to just reflect and invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. I'm going to cover three areas that we talked about today in our time of prayer and reflection here. So please, every head bowed, every eye is closed. Right now, let's focus in. This is really important. This is decision-making time. If you're in this camp, do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to have peace with others? I want to pray with you. And I've been speaking, talking, you know that's me. Raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. And I want to just pray a blessing. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take some time and just pray. Father, I pray for your grace on them right now. Give them grace, Lord. Prepare their hearts, God. Give them that strength that comes from you to extend forgiveness. Help them, Lord, to release that control of that pain and to surrender that to you, God, now in the name of Jesus. And I break that stronghold of bitterness, and I pray, Lord, that your grace to forgive would flow through their hearts now in the name of Jesus. Set them free. And just begin right now, just under your breath, say, I forgive. Just think about that person. Just imagine yourself releasing them. Say, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. And I'm telling you, don't stop saying it until you get your breakthrough. I forgive them. I forgive them. Second thing I want to pray over is maybe you heard this message and you feel like, hey, I need to have peace with myself. Do you need peace? Do you need to have peace with yourself? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Or you need to start loving and appreciating the way that God made you. I want to pray with you right now. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, you said in your word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you knit us together in our mother's womb, that you have plans for us to bless us and prosper us, not to harm us, that you look down on us and there's joy that you feel. You love us unconditionally, Lord. Help us to love ourselves. Lord, forgive us for hating ourselves and hating the way you made us. Forgive us, Lord. And I forgive myself. I forgive myself for the things I did in the past. Go ahead and say that to God. I forgive myself, God. Thank you for forgiving me. I forgive myself. Thank you, Jesus. And the last thing I want to pray with you, everyone here, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Do you need peace with God? If you died tonight, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Is your name written in that book in heaven that says that you've surrendered your life to Jesus? You've surrendered your life to him. Every single one of us has to make that decision to surrender our lives. God wants to have peace with you. He wants to be joined with you. Listen, it's too important a consequence to leave to chance. If you can't say 100% yes, I'm going to heaven, that's why you're here today. That's why you're here. And I want to pray with you. You say, Pastor Mike, what do I got to do? It's just a simple prayer. You ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Yes, and come into your life, be the Lord of your life. You surrender, you say, I surrender, I surrender. And you make him the Lord of your life. and receive him as your Savior. If you've never done that in the past, that's why you're here today. But maybe you did that in the past, but right now you know you're not where you want to be with God. You know you've gone off track. That's why you're here today, because God wants to bring you back into that peace with him. He wants to reconcile you back to him. You can get right back on track with God, a clean slate. So if any of those two apply to you, you want to begin a relationship with him, surrender your life to him, or you want to recommit your life to Christ, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Come on. Thank you. Come on. Anyone else? I see you there. I see you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, be bold. Raise your hand. All right, everyone, pray this prayer with them. Join in. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. Forgive me. Wash my sins away. I'm yours. You're mine. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Come on, would you give God a hand clap of praise for what he did? Thank you for praying those prayers. I love you, Victory Church.
Give Pastor Mike a hand. I think that was an incredible, incredible message. And it just seems to be the timing of the Lord. I think there was an important time right now for him to share that message for us going into Christmas and relationships. Let's get free of this stuff for Christmas, right? So I don't know. I was thinking maybe God sent that tornado so Pastor Mike could speak this morning. I just pray that he doesn't do it again next week. But I'm kind of glad he did, because we needed to hear that today. Now y'all can come and help me clean up those trees since you got that great message. Give Pastor Mike another hand. That was really, really well put together, especially on short notice. But God knew that we needed to hear that today. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with Pastor Mike to commit your life to the Lord for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. And also, at the end of the service, there's going to be prayer teams up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer. But you know, if you're new to the Lord and you don't have a Bible, come on up and just tell them you need a Bible, and we're going to give you a Bible. We're going to pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket as it comes by. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And here's my offering scripture that I was thinking about this week. And it's Proverbs chapter 3. There's a few verses, but just follow it along. I think it's very encouraging. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." How many of you believe that's a good thing to do? "Don't lean in your own understanding." To me, that's the hard part. "In all your ways," in how many ways? "All your ways, acknowledge him." And what happens? He makes your path straight. "Don't be wise in your own eyes." Watch this. "Honor the Lord from your wealth." I think that's an interesting connection. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I don't need to do, I can. No, it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. "Honor the Lord from your wealth." You say, "Well, I'm not really wealthy." Yeah, we're all wealthy. Whatever it is, honor him with it. And from the first, that's how you honor him, and you put him first. But put him first in every area of life, but especially in your finances. If you want him involved in your finances, if you want him to increase and bless your finances, put him first. But I found out that if you put him first in your finances, he takes care of every area of life, because your finances follow your heart, and he's after your heart. "From the first of all your produce," and look what he says, the promise. "You put him first, your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine." I believe God wants to transfer the resources of the planet to the righteous, because we put God first and he can use it to glorify himself. Well, listen, there's three ways to give. You can give in an offering envelope, you can give online, or you can text to give. If you're giving in the Christmas offering, note Christmas offering, let's pray over our offering today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom, good seed into good soil. We speak over these gifts and command your blessing upon these finances to win souls, make disciples, bring people closer to you. I pray for the giver that you give them back what you promised your disciples, 100-fold return. And right now I speak this blessing over your people. that you had Moses speak over your people. I say they were blessed coming in, they're blessed going out, in the city, in the country, in their home, in the field. When they lie down, when they get up, blesses their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything that they have, I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They shall lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that, said amen. God bless you as you give.